Sir Bosa, I just want to know what you have and what you receive. Number one, we have a page like this that has Myra McComas on it.
Yes.
So I hope you'll have that. That page, just to clarify, is divided into two halves. The first half will be the first 5 minutes of Shia, because that's just a review to give you an up-to-date, you know, blow-by-blow of where we're holding in the concept of Meleches Machsheves. And the bottom half is what we want to do for today. So if you'll take a look at the sources on the bottom, you'll see that the first of the sources here is a Chelkas Mechokek, which is a super commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So I have that for you. Let me ask you to help me by taking one and passing it around. Okay, that's the Chelkas Mechokek. Okay, then. So I don't know if you did Xerox on your own or you didn't.
Some I have it, but he just went to Xerox to make a couple of copies. He didn't really.
Oh, okay then. So maybe you could stop him before we waste more paper, because I'm worried about the ecological system. Okay. Then, the second thing that we have here is Rashbam on the one side, and then you have Rashi on the other side. The Igle Tal, I think I gave you already. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. If there's anyone who didn't get an Igle Tal, I have copies here. The Igle Tal. Maybe I'll take one copy for myself. Okay. All right. So let's spend 5 minutes just reviewing what we know. We saw Rashi in Masechta Chagiga, and that was on Daf Yud Amud Beis. If you remember, the Mishnah spoke about certain cases, certain areas of Torah, which are like hanging on a thin thread, meaning there's very little in Torah Shebichsav, but there's massive amounts in Torah Shebal Peh. One of the examples the Mishnah gives is Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what do you mean that Shabbos is standing on a small, thin thread? So the Gemara gives the example of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that Malacha Shein Etzricha L'Gufa is Patur. And the Gemara says that the reason why Malacha Shein Etzricha L'Gufa is Patur is because Meleches Machsheves Asrei Torah. Then we had Rashi in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. That was the sugya of Mechaber. And Rashi equates Mechaber with Soser. And in both cases, you're doing a destructive act, which is called Mekalkel. And Rashi says explicitly in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis that Mekalkel is Potur Midin Meleches Machsheves. We pointed out, and we had a long discussion about this, that the Rashi in Chagiga and the Rashi in Mekalkel, in Meleches Mechaber, are sort of like two roads that diverge in the yellow wood. They're fundamentally different one from the other. In the case of Melacha Shein Etzricha L'Gufa, we're talking about Meleches Machsheves as a Machshava, meaning a Kavana, that you don't need the hole in the ground, you just need the dirt, right? And in the case of Mekalkel, we're talking about a whole different concept, and that is Melacha Chashuva, that the Melacha has to be significant. And in the case of a destructive act, we don't consider that as a significant Melacha Chashuva, it's not creative. And perhaps in this sense, Rashi is telling us that there are two different categories of Meleches Machsheves. One category is objective and one is subjective. Objectively, a Mekalkel, since it's destructive, it is lacking in the Chashivus of a Melacha. In the other case of Melach Shein Etzricha L'Gufa, everything is in his mind. It's all 100% subjective. It's what you call the phenomenology of Hilchos Shabbos, meaning in his mind, he's not interested in digging a hole in the ground. Other people might be very interested in digging a hole in the ground. Objectively, it's a very meaningful thing. It's called Meleches Harisha. That's how we prepare the ground for sowing. But he's not interested in that in the least. So his subjective interest and intention and his purpose, that's what determines whether it's Meleches Machsheves or not. Then we have a third Rashi. This was the Rashi that we discussed about Meleches Tofer. If you remember, the Gemara establishes that in Meleches Tofer, it's not just enough that you sew two stitches, but you have to tie the stitches at both ends. And without that kesher b'rashi achutim, then the tfira is called the tfira she'eda miskayemis. It's going to fall apart. And Rashi says in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis that if it's a malacha she'eda miskayemis, that's not called a malacha. And one could argue that if we talk about chashivus, about the significance of malacha, insofar as the Torah requires a malachas machsheves, then you can't call a malacha chashuva if it's not going to last. If it's just temporary, and then you have to ask yourself the question, well, what is temporary? You know, how temporary is temporary? Does it have to last for a day, for a month, for a year? But as far as the two Rashis of Mekalkel and Tofer are concerned, those two could be integrated into one whole, and that is Malacha Chashuva. And the absence, or the deficiency of a malacha in terms of its chashivas can be measured in one of two ways. Either it's deficient in that it's not creative, or it's deficient in that it's not permanent, but rather it's temporary. But then we seem to have a third definition of malachas machshavas, and that's Rashi in Masechta Beitza on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. And we went through this Gemara in great length. The bottom line is that the Gemara establishes that as far as Gemar Malacha, the concept of completing a preparation, with regard to Masros, we find that, to our surprise, if you gather together the onions or the gourds, you know, the pumpkins into a pile, that's called Gemar Malacha L'Inyan Maser. But yet the Gemara establishes explicitly that if you did such a thing on Shabbos, you would not be Chayav. And even though there's a Malacha in Shabbos, one of the 39, that's called Ma'amer, which means gathering together your food, but here the Gemara says this is not a Meleches Machsheves when you just simply gather together all the onions into a pile. And Rashi explains there in Beitza Yud Gimel Amud Beis that the reason why you're not Chayev for this kind of Arema Shel Betzolim is because Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. And Rashi adds the following phrase. He says, Meleches Umnus Asra Torah. Umnus means some sort of profession, a professional. You have a professional and he does something in an expert way. You know, he doesn't just gather the hay together, but he puts them into a bale in a very specific way. And that's called the Meleches Umnus. And we tried to point out that Rashi perhaps derived this conclusion from Targum Unkelis, because Targum Unkelis on the words Meleches Machsheves says Meleches Umnus. So now we have a third definition. In other words, with regard to the cases of Mekalkel and Kshira in Tutfiros, there we were able to combine them under one definition of Meleches Machsheves, namely you need a Malacha Chashuva. But we still have two other definitions of Meleches Machsheves. We have the Rashi in Chagiga that it depends upon your intention, and you didn't intend for this Malach of Harisha or for Binyan. You're not building anything with this hole in the ground, you just want to get the dirt. And then we have the Rashi in Beitza that if you don't join this together in a way that's professional, that's not a Meleches Umnus, and therefore it's not Meleches Machsheves. When the Torah describes the Osei HaMalacha, the Chachmei Lev, who did the building of the Mishkan, the Torah describes them as great Umnum. You know, they were great professionals. They knew how to do this in a very specific way, a very sophisticated way. So basically, the bottom line is, as we enter into today's discussion, we have three different definitions of Meleches Machsheves in Rashi and Shas. We have one definition that's subjective, and it depends upon your intention or lack thereof. We have another definition that you need a Melacha Chashuva, which means it's got to be creative and not Mekalkel. It's got to be something that's permanent and not temporary. And then we have the third definition, namely it's got to be Meleches Umnus, and that's to the exclusion of gathering together food or produce in such a way that it's not professionally organized. Now, Mitch, you asked me a question which is still in the back of my mind. I don't want you to think I've forgotten about it. I just don't have an answer yet. And that is, in the case of Tofer Shtei Tefiros, where the halacha requires Kshira, it would seem that he should violate the Meleches Kshira. And that's something that we have to take under advisement. The last thing I wanted to mention to you, so that we don't forget, is Kelayim. With regard to Kelayim, the Torah says that you're not allowed to put together Pishtan and Semer Yachdov. And the Gemara establishes that if you take Semer and Pishtan and you combine them with two tefiros, two stitches, then you're chayav for creating Kelayim. And the question is, what about the requirement of Kshira, Barashe Achutim? And we saw that the Taz tells us explicitly that although for Kalayim we don't have this additional condition, meaning you're Chayav in Kalayim for creating Yachtov even without Kshira B'Rosh Yachutin, nevertheless in Shabbos, in that case, without the Rosh Yachutin, you would be Potter, and that we saw in the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. And the reason for that, says the Taz, is because Meleches Machsheves Osur Torah. And that led us to a discussion, if you recall, about Din Klali and Din Mesuyam, that certain dinim are universal, and we're offering and formulating a halachic definition of a concept that will apply all over Shas in all cases, and sometimes we offer a definition or a condition that's specific to one area. And that's where Shabbos becomes unique in terms of Meleches Machsheves. That's the last point that we made, and that's the point I want to develop today even further, that Shabbos has its own very unique requirements and conditions, because the Torah says you're not chayav for violating Shabbos unless it's a melacha chashuva. And we discussed the fact that as far as Gemar Melacha in Maisros are concerned, then gathering together in Arema Shel Betzalim would be Gemar Melacha, but it would not constitute Gemar Melacha as far as Meleches Ma'amer to engender a chayav Shabbos, because we require Meleches Umnes and Meleches Machsheves. And then Kshira B'Rosh Yachut, in the case of Shtei Tefiros, is not a requirement in our universal definition of Tefira, and therefore for Kalai B'Godim Yechayim for Tefira even without Kshira B'Rosh Yachut. But in Shabbos, where the Torah adds the requirement, this overall, you know, massive principle, super principle of Meleches Machsheves, then unless it's a Melacha Miskayemes, it's got to be permanent, in the absence of the Kshira B'Rosh Yachutim, I don't have a permanent Melacha, and therefore in Shabbos I'm Potter. Please make note that in Shabbos we're more Mekil than we are in Kol HaTorah Kula. That's sort of counterintuitive, because we would think that Shabbos is so, the Torah was so machmir, you know, you have skila for violating the Shabbos, you know, Klai B'Godim, with all due respect, is only a lav, and Maisris is only a lav, maybe it's a lav chomur, but it's a lav. Shabbos is an Iser Misa, and yet, paradoxically, the Torah is more Mekil in Shabbos by adding a new condition and a prerequisite for violating Shabbos, namely Meleches Machsheves. So in Kol HaTorah Kula, for example, I couldn't care less whether it was a Melacha Tzricha L'Gufa or ain't it Tzricha L'Gufa. You violate the Isur and you don't need it for this, you need it for that. Totally irrelevant. In Kol HaTorah Kula, I don't ask myself, is it Mekalkel or is it Metaken? Is it creative or destructive? Irrelevant. Whatever the Isur is, that's what the Isur is. And in the case of, as we saw, Kelai B'Godim, I don't ask myself, is it a Melacha Miskayemes or not? It's Yachtov, you violated the Iser, and that's fine. In Gvar Melacha, from Iser, etc. So everything in terms of Kol HaTorah Kula lowers the standards, we lower the requirement and the bar. But in Shabbos, in order to constitute a violation of Shabbos, we raise the bar. And that's called Meleches Machsheves. And we suggested that Meleches Machsheves raises the bar in three different ways, according to Rashi. Number one, in subjective terms, you have to have a subjective desire for that Melech. Number two, in terms of Chashivus, it's got to be creative and not destructive. It's got to be permanent and not temporary. And number three, it's got to be something that a professional would do, just to chaplop and put things together and into a bundle, into a bag, you know, without actually making it into a bundle. That's not a Meleches Umnus, and therefore it's not Meleches Machsheves. Okay. Ad Kan. just to just review what we did until now. Yeah, go ahead, Shmuel.
I'm sorry to ask a question about this, but I understand that we're trying to come up with a definition of Malachim Machshavet. And the word Machshavet has different connotations.
Correct.
Right? Hebrews, Machshava, etc. Is there, without trying to short circuit the process, how would you translate it into English, Malachim Machshavet?
Again, in an overall concept, which is somewhat vague and ambiguous, I would say significant. But when I take the word significance and I break it down into its smaller component parts, I realize that significance sort of flies in many directions. It can have many different tributaries. You know, it's like a tree with many different branches that go in different directions. So you can gauge significance by the fact that I need a professional to perfect it. You can gauge significance by the fact that it's creative. You can gauge significance by the fact that it's permanent. But then when you get to something like Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, that doesn't really reduce the significance of the Malacha. Meaning, there are two people doing the exact same thing. If I took a videotape of both Reuven and Shimon, there's no nuance of a difference between the two. And yet Reuven is Chayav and Shimon is not Chayav. Then it's difficult, you know, to operate within that general term significance. Maybe we should say that the fact that Reuven is not interested in the Malacha, that makes the Malacha less significant. But again, you're throwing in a whole new element here into the equation, because that's the subjective question about what Reuven's goal is. But on the screen, in terms of the video, nothing changed over here. You know, we can't analyze the, you know, if we're looking just at the picture, we don't know what he's going to do with this hole. He's going to put a pillar into the hole, you know, that is for constructive purposes, engineering person going to hold up the ceiling so it doesn't fall on him and collapse. Or is he simply trying to collect dirt because he wants to take it out into his garden and spread it around his garden? I mean, nobody knows what he has in his mind. Obviously, we do know what he has in mind, otherwise you can't posture whether he's part of a chayev. But in terms of the objective action, you know, to say it's less significant because this, I don't know. Now, keep in mind, again, this is for a whole discussion, if he digs a hole in a place where it's absolutely ineffective for building purposes, you know, out in the you know, he builds, imagine, you know, he's out in the field and he digs a giant ditch, and all you get out of that is that somebody might fall and kill himself, you know, that's already mekalkel. But Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is not mekalkel. Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa means he dug the hole in a place which could be effective, would be meaningful, if only he had that purpose in mind. So today what I want to discuss with you is a concept called Kelachar Yad. And the specific case that we want to focus on is righties versus lefties. So I'm a righty, and I write with my left hand in this particular case. That's called Kelachar Yad. There are many different forms of Kelachar Yad. For example, you might throw your hand over your head and write behind your head. You might hold the pen in a very unusual way. Correct? Many different forms which are unusual, as opposed to what's called the Hergil or the Regilus. That's called Kelachar Yad. One of the classical cases of Kelachar Yad is going to be a case of a righty who writes with his left hand. The same thing would apply in the case of a lefty who wrote with his right hand. So that's going to be Kelachar Yad. Now the Chelkas Mechokek, which is the super commentary 4 centuries ago on Ebn Ezer, a little bit after his time, was the Beis Shmuel, who often, as we'll see in this case as well, quotes the Chelkas Mechokei. These are the super commentaries on Ebn Ezer. And what I find exciting here is that if you were to ask me to give a shiur in Hilchos Shabbos about Malachas Machshavos, the last place in the world I would look is in Ebn Ezer. Ebn Ezer is great if you're studying the laws of marriage and divorce, but what does that have to do with the laws of Shabbos? And here's where the Chelkas Mechokek makes a very fundamental point. A get that was written by a sofer with his left hand is the subject of this discussion in the Mechaber, in the Shulchan Aruch, at the beginning of Ebn Ezer Simon Kuf Chaf Gimel. After establishing that Hakol Ksheir Lichtov HaGet, with of course five categories of exception. He goes on to say that if the get was written properly, it's kosher. Comes along the Rambam and he adds the following cryptic comment. He says, Ulchatchila Yichtov HaSofer Biyado Hayimonis, or if he's a lefty, with his left hand. That's what the Rambam adds over here. Now, Rabosai, this is a very strange kind of halacha in and of itself, and if we were learning Eben Ezer and Hilchas Gittin, we would really have to shtel on this, because the concept of lachatchila and bidieved, that distinction is applicable where, Rabosai? In what area of Torah knowledge? Mitzvahs. In mitzvahs, you can talk to me about doing a mitzvah lachatchila and doing a bidieved. You know, there's certain requirements in a mitzvah that are indispensable and are absolute, and there are others that you can live without. You know, you didn't fulfill that condition. It would embellish the mitzvah. Get is not a mitzvah. I mean, it could be that in certain situations to divorce your wife might be a mitzvah, but to write a get is certainly not a mitzvah. And therefore, the whole concept of lechatchila b'dieved in writing a get is completely an anomaly here. But that's not the subject of my discussion, Baruch Hashem. I'm parted from that because we're learning Shabbos. That's already relevant to get. The point is, if I would ask you the following question, you would know the answer. What happens if a righty wrote a get with his left hand? Is the get kosher or not?
No,
I'm saying the Rambam writes lechatchila yichtov asofer. So the Chelkas Mechokhik points out that the language lechatchila clearly indicates that the get is kosher if it was written with his left hand. That's fine with me, because I don't even know why lechatchila he should have written with his right hand. Maybe because if he writes with his left hand, it'll be a little bit unclear. You know, maybe there'll be questions about how to read it. You know. He's not ambidextrous. If he's ambidextrous, then he could write lechatchila with his left hand as well as with his right. But we're talking about a righty. So maybe lechatchila, you know, we want to avoid any sort of doubts about certain words or certain letters in the get. So we made an absolute requirement that write the get with your good, strong hand. I don't know. So that's the lechatchila that the Rambam codifies here. But clearly, if we want to discuss b'dieved, the get is kosher, even though it's written by a righty with his left hand, and that's not so remarkable. Until the Chelkas Mechokek points out that it is remarkable. And the reason for that is because of two different Gemaras. One Gemara is in Masechta Shabbos, and the other Gemara is in Masechta Gittin. And if we put the two Gemaras together, we're in trouble. Why? Because in one Gemara, the Gemara postulates an equation between get and ksiva on Shabbos. Ksiva meaning one of the 39 malachas of Shabbos is writing on Shabbos. And that discussion revolves around the following issue. What happens if a person writes a get shelo lishma? Such a get is possible. But the Gemara wants to know what happens if he goes over the letters of the get. Again, he uses quill? Is there such a word? Yeah. He uses quill with ink and he goes over the letters a second time. And this time, he has the right machshav of get lishma. That's called ksav al gabi ksav. And the Gemara wants to know, what's the din in Shabbos if you write ksav al gabi ksav? So let's say on Shabbos it was already written, but then it was shelo lishma, let's say in the case of a get, and he writes on top of it, and he improves it with the ksav elyon. Do we have... Does the halacha recognize the status of ksav elyon as ksav, and the two nafkaminas? One is whether he's chayiv in Shabbos for ksav elyon, ksav agabi ksav. And number two, can he be machshir get and add the lishma in the get through ksav elyon? And the Gemara has an absolute analogy between the two. What does that have to do with us? says the Chelkas Mechokek, put that together with the Gemara and Shabbos. In the seventh parak, the Gemara establishes that if he writes on Shabbos, Kilachar Yad, meaning if he's a righty and he writes with his left hand, then he's not chayav for Melech HaShabbos. So the obvious question is the following. If we grant the analogy between the two answers that are both the same to this following question, what constitutes ksiva? And I can give you two answers and they're both correct. Number one, is it ksiva in Hilchas Get, as far as writing a get? Number two, is it ksiva in Hilchas Shabbos, as far as violation of Melech HaShabbos? And they're both the same, because the Gemara makes the analogy between the two. If it constitutes ksav as far as get, then ipso facto, it's ksav as far as Shabbos, and the reverse is true. It's one and the same definition of ksav. No, if that be the case, then I have a problem, because we saw in the Rambam that although it's a good idea to encourage the sofer to write the get with his right hand, but it's not likuva, and if he wrote the get with his left hand, the get is kosher, means it is ksav. No, if it is ksav, then why does the Gemara establish that on Shabbos, if he wrote with his left hand, he is potter? So to answer this question, the Chalkas Machokek makes the following distinction. He says that if you're talking about ksav in objective terms, meaning there's a ksav, and I don't know whether or not this ksav is a ksav, then get and Shabbos are the same. But if, on the other hand, you're asking about the tsuras haksiva, meaning the way he wrote it, do you follow what I mean? Not the ksav itself. Where does the Gemara make the analogy between get and Shabbos? That's only with regard to the ksav itself. So ksav elyon, if it's a ksav for get, and it obviates the problem of lishma, then his ksav elyon is also ksav as far as Shabbos, and he's chayv shum mishum aleches ksiva, because the ksav is a ksav.
It's called the script.
It's called the script. It's called writing, even though it's on top of a writing that's below it. However, if you ask me what's called an act of a malacha, meaning did he do it the way it's normally done or did he not? Here, there's halacha in Shabbos that if it's not done the way it's normally done, then it's lacking, it's deficient in what? Everybody, the two magic words for today? Meleches Machsheves. Why? Because Meleches Machsheves means you did it in the primary way, in the classical paradigmic way, the way it was done in the Mishkan. So let's read the Chelkas Machok inside, that which is relevant. He says, "Delav lechol mili medamin l'Shabbos." We don't have an absolute equation between Shabbos and get. Why? Because there is a special requirement in Shabbos. The Shabbos be'ina, we require meleches machsheves dum yud mishkan al kain. Therefore, kol shekasev kelachar yad o b'smol lav meleches machshevesi. That's not the normal classical paradigmic way you do ksiva. Avol mikolakom ksav mikri le'inyin get. So if I were to ask you the following question, again, this is just what I'm telling you now might be totally wrong, but just if Ein L'dayan, if all I know is just this Taz, excuse me, just this Chalkas Machokek, what would be your answer to the following question? If, let's say, I can recite abracadabra and write a get, if I can find a magical way of writing a get, and the get is perfect, and I do it l'shma, would it be a get?
No.
It would be a get. Why? Because what does it have? Has the ksav. All I need is the ksav of a get. In other words, we didn't find that the Torah required ksiva with all the requirements of ksiva. The Torah required a ksav. So when do we equate Shabbos and get? That's if we wanted to find the ksav. Is this a ksav or is it not? In Shabbos, it's a ksav. Then in get, it's a ksav. In get, it's a ksav. Then in Shabbos, it's a ksav. But if I wanted to find a maisa ksiva, what constitutes a malacha, meaning a pulas ha'adam, you know, when a man engages in an action, and there are 39 categories of actions which are prohibited on Shabbos, then the action has to be defined by meleches machsheves in Shabbos, and in get, it's totally secondary. And the one who's going to develop this idea, because right now I gave it to you in just the germ of the idea, is going to be the Sukkot Shava Rebbe, the Avdei Nezer, in his magnum opus on Shabbos, which is called the Igle Tal. So again, Rabosai, if we're talking about a din mesuyam in Shabbos, where Shabbos is in contrast to Kol HaTorah Kula, we have a beautiful example here in the Chelkas Mechokek, which, by the way, the Beis Shmuel applauds the Chelkas Mechokek here. In many cases, he disagrees with the Chelkas Mechokek. And this is so parallel, we feel very comfortable to what we've seen, number one, in the sugya of Tofer, as opposed to Kalayim, where all you have to do is two stitches, and you don't have to add the two ksharim, barash achutim. In Shabbos, you're not chayav for Tofer unless you have the kshira, and that requirement is based on a molacha miskayemes, and the requirement, the condition of meleches machshaves. And we had the case of Arema Shel Bitzolim, where in Hilchas Maisros he has implemented a Gemara Melacha, but that same action would not constitute a Melechas Shabbos, Rashi says, because it's not a Maisa Umnus, it's not Melechas Umnus, and therefore it's lacking in Melechas Mashavis. We can add a third case in which we can compare and contrast Shabbos to the rest of the Torah, and that's going to be the question of writing. As far as Ksivas Get is concerned, it's irrelevant to us. Again, I'm leaving out the Lechatchila here, but it's irrelevant to us whether he wrote with a right hand or a left hand. But in Hilchos Shabbos, where the Torah is very careful about Melechas Machsheves, comes along with Chelkas Mechokek, and he says that Kelacha Yad is not the Melechas Machsheves Dumya the Mishkan. It's not the normal way you would do the action. Now again, if you would ask me, Shalom, where in our chart of defining or translating the word Machsheves does this fit in, Kelachar Yad? I would say it's very similar to the Rashi in Beitza about Meleches Umnus. Meaning, we're certainly not involved here in the subjective ratzon or intention of the person. That's not relevant to our discussion. I don't know if we're discussing anything about chashivus, because I don't know if it's less chashiv if he wrote with his left hand than he did with his right hand, although ostensibly somebody could argue that. I certainly have no discussion here about molacha miskayemes. The ink is going to remain on the cloth the same amount of time whether he wrote with his right or his left. And therefore, I'm tempted to think that this Chelkas Mechokek is really a reflection of Rashi and Beitza, that you require, in order to constitute a Melechas Machsheves, you require Meleches Umnus. And the way an Uman would do it, to make sure that he does it in the most perfect professional way, is with his right hand, rather than take chances with his left hand.
Rebbe?
Yeah?
The one thing, with the example that you gave, that if you could magically make the get appear,
You're right. But I was just trying to, you know, you missed the point, Alan. I was just using a pedagogic use. I was just trying to show you that the emphasis here on the analogy between Get and Shabbos, you know, to what extent is Get a prism through which I can determine laws of Shabbos, is Ksav. What is the Ksav? And its status, you know, we're going to analyze the status of the ksav. In this case, it's a ksav elyon, and there's a ksav tachton. So which wins out in that battle between the elyon and the tachton? Tachton was shalol lishma, and the elyon was lishma. And therefore, I was trying to dramatize that by saying that the halacha of maisa ksiva with regard to get is not the same as it is in Shabbos. In Shabbos, you need a ksiva which is dumya de mishkan, which would require, you know, that you write with your right hand. In get, I couldn't care less if you write with your left hand. So that now, as Alan points out, we have two different definitions of ksiva, of the maisa ksiva. We have the maisa ksiva on the most basic level, which is not dumya de mishkan, and it could even entail a kalachar yad, but it still constitutes eva kasav, and therefore in get its kosher. Whereas in Shabbos, it would not constitute a violation of Melechas Shabbos of kosev, because we have a higher standard, we raise the bar in terms of what constitutes for kasav with regard to Shabbos. And it's got to be the kasav all the way up to the standards of the Mishkan, which was done not kelachar yad, but b'derech harogil, and a righty to a right hand. Now at this point, Rabosai, I want to discuss with you a possible machlokes between Rashi and the Rashbam about Meleches Machsheves, and see if we can tie this up and relate it to everything we've been discussing, and that'll lead us to the Igle Tal. So even though I'm switching the historical chronology here, we're going to start with the Rashbam. If anybody here needs a copy of the Rashbam, I have one here, if you haven't gotten one. And you'll see that the top of your page may have gotten cut off, but what was cut off, because I haven't perfected my skills of photocopying yet, is Baba Basra Nun Hei Omid Beis. So that's what you want to write in your own handwriting, that we're dealing with a Sugyan Baba Basra Daf Nun Hei Omid Beis. Now, in the context of this Sugya, which has mostly to do with Tuma Vitara, the Gemara quotes a Brisa. Actually, Rava quotes a Brisa. It's four lines before the end of the Talmudic text of the Gemara itself, and it says, "Hotzi chatzi gogeres l'shusa rabin v'inicha v'chazav hotzi chatzi gogeres acheres behelim achas chayev b'shtei olamos potur." Now, the Rashbam points out, this is not the main point of the Rashbam, as far as we're concerned, but that every malacha has a shear, it has a minimum requirement. In the case of Otsah, the minimum requirement is a grogeris. Why that's so is a different discussion. What he did was, in two different actions, he split up the shear of grogeris. So he carried out first a chatzi grogeris, then he carried out a second chatzi grogeris, totaling a full grogeris. If we assume that according to one shita, this is not going to be universally accepted, he's chayav in such a case, then if he does it b'shogeg, he brings a korban chatos, because every violation of Shabbos b'mezid incurs a chiyuv chatos b'shogeg. Now the Rashbam decides to offer an addition. And the Rashbam does this from time to time in his Pirush on Baba Basra. He gives you a kind of sheer klali, which is a little bit off the daf. You know, it's not necessarily crucial but to the daf, but he wants to give you a broader understanding of general concepts. And this you'll find in the Rashbam, four lines up from the bottom of the Rashbam, which is on the left side of your page. In fact, if I would have printed this Gemara, the Shas, I would have written B'Maseches Shabbos in bold print, because it really starts a new paragraph. The reason why the printer didn't do so is because this is the Rashbam talking, and you only bold words from the Gemara itself. So that's the rule that he operates with. B'Maseches Shabbos Tnan. The Rashbam quotes a Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos. Hamotzi Ochlin, if a person carries foodstuff from one rishus to another, chayev bigrogeris. He's chayev if he carries a full grogeris of Ochlin. Now, the Rashbam is going to ask the question, I mean, he never actually asks the question, but he answers the question, why? What is the basis for this requirement? And if not for the Rashbam, I might have said that this is just simply a halacha l'moshe misinai. You know, why is it that if you eat chas v'sholom a behemoth tmeh, you're only chayv if you eat a kezayis? I can't give you an answer to that question. That's halacha l'moshe misinai. All shiurim are halacha l'moshe misinai. But the Rashbam adds another element into the equation. And he says that with regard to Shabbos, moleches machsheves osra Torah. Interesting. V'lo chashiva hotzas davar chashuv bepachos mikigrogos mikigrogeres. Now I'm not sure if the word chashuv here goes back on the davar or back on the hotzah, but basically what I see from the Rashbam is that less than a shear is a deficiency. It's a lack in moleches machsheves. It's not chashuv. Clearly, and this I'm happy about, the Rashbam translates the word machsheves as chashivus, and the significance is that he took out a sizable volume of produce, of food in this case, and that's a grogeris. If he brought out less than that, that's not considered a dover chashuv. That's not considered a hotzah chashuva. who cares about a small amount of a date or a fig or whatever it might be that he's carrying? It's so minuscule, nobody's going to get excited about it. So you relocated it. You made it accessible to the rabbin or to the yochid. So what? It's insignificant. And if it's insignificant, it's not emel leches machsheves. Now, if we want to put this together with a different Rashi, with a Rashi as opposed to the Rashbam, then if you turn your page, if you happen to have the photocopied pages, we're going to compare and contrast the Rashbam that we saw in Bava Basra with Rashi in Perek Klal Gadol. The Gemara here is discussing Meleches Afia. One of the 39 Meleches is baking. So we're on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph in Masechet Shabbos. I don't know if you have that. And the Gemara is talking about an equation here between Afia and the other Meleches like Borer. And in the course of this discussion, the Gemara talks about the shear, knows how much of afiyah constitutes an afiyah. And the Gemara says that what happens if he did less than a shear of afiyah? And the implication of the Brisa is that he's okay. He hasn't violated Shabbos because he did less than a shear. So the Gemara right away jumps on him. And the Gemara says, V'chimuta lefos pochos mikashir? Are you telling that? Again, if you were telling me that he's not chayav for less than a shear, he doesn't get skila if he did it b'mezid, he doesn't have to bring a karm chatos if he did it b'shogi, that's nicha, that I can understand. But the Gemara doesn't understand that you're allowed to tell a person, go ahead and bake chatzi shear, says Rashi, nehi, dechiv chatos leka, I agree with you that you would not be chayav a chatos for pochos mikashir, but isur mi'ika, but certainly have to admit to me that you're not allowed to violate this isur. And now I would say to you, what kind of isur are we talking about? Now cover the Rashi, so to speak. You know, if you're willing to play this game with me. Based on the Rashbam that we saw before, that less than a shear is not considered meleches machsheves, then what kind of isur would you talk about if you violated afia with less than a shear? Derabbanan or Doraisa, what would be your inclination? Derabbanan, for sure. If it's not Meleches Machsheves, then okay, Derabbanan might be afraid that, you know, you violate this and it'll lead to a Meleches Machsheves, but certainly there's no Doraisa here. And therefore, when the Gemara says, V'chimuta lefos pachos mikashir, and the Gemara is sort of astonished in a naive way. Are you telling me that you're allowed to bake less than a shear? According to Rashbam, I would submit to you, we don't have the Pirush of Rashbam on the Masechta Shabbos, but if we did, he would say, that's something the Rabbanan not going to tolerate that. Because although on a Doraisa level, that's not a malacha because it's lacking in chashivus, it's not a malacha chashuva. After all, you didn't carry a grogeres, so you didn't bake a grogeres. Okay, we'll have to see what the shear of afia is. But nevertheless, the Rabbanan have to aser it. And Rashi says, no. The kaimalon chatzi shear aser min ha-Torah. The Perek Basra Diyuma. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan at the very end of Yuma against Reish Lakish that chatzi shear is aser min ha-Torah. Rashi takes the principle of chatzi shear aser min ha-Torah and he applies it here in the case of Shabbos. Now, what's going on over here? Rashi's pulling the wool over our eyes. Does anybody have a kash on this Rashi? Based on the Rashbam. Again, I'm not saying Rashi agrees to the premise of the Rashbam, but why would Rashi make no sense if I embrace the sheet of the Rashbam?
Because if you say you need to have Melechus Machsheves, which is a full shear, so how can Chatzi Shear?
Chatzi Shear is irrelevant. Chatzi Shear would be relevant to a case where the Torah says that, you know what, this Nevela has to be a kezayis worth of nevela. So you might argue with me, every little piece of nevela, even if it's a parcel that's less than a kezayis, is still nevela. To use the language of Rabbi Yochanan, chazi litztarufe, right? I could take a half a kezayis and put it together with another half a kezayis and fine. But when you talk about malacha, you're not talking about chazilut starufei putting pieces together. You're not talking about, is there a chefza di sura like nevela, and therefore even less than a shira kizayis, the Torah prohibits, the Torah can't tolerate your eating any nevela. Fine, I can understand that. That's Rav Yochanan's position. But in the case of malacha Shabbos, either it is a malacha or it's not a malacha. Says the Rashbam, the reason why it's not a malacha, because it's not a malacha chashuva. If it's not a malacha chashuva, it's not a malacha. If it's not a malacha, you can't talk about chatzi shir. Chatzi shir would make sense if you want to call this, in classical universal terms, achilas nevela. I ate nevela. Okay, I didn't eat a shir of nevela, so you can't give me malchus. But it's also in a Torah to eat nevela. The Torah says, kol nevela sochu. But if you talk about malacha Shabbos, you have to answer one question and one question only. Is it a malacha or is it not a malacha? If it is a malacha, then you chayav. If it's not a malacha, then it's not a malacha. But to talk about chatzi shir, asam in a Torah, that makes absolutely no sense. And I submit to you, Rabosai, that, again, I'm not going to be held responsible for this because somebody's going to probably prove me wrong one day, but I submit to you that if all I have is this one Rashi, then Rashi is learning that less than a shir has nothing to do with malachas machsheves. The malacha is a malacha even if it's less than a shir. And if it's a malacha, then we can talk about chatzi shir. I would have said, you know, my netiya is here for the Rashbam, that if it's less than a shir, that's not a malacha at all. And I would introduce here the concept of malachas machsheves. It's lacking in the chashivas of a malacha. Who would bother with a half a grogeres? Nobody would bother with that. It's insignificant. Therefore, chatzi shir is not meaningful here. You can't take chatzi shir on something that's not a malacha. Rashi, on the other hand, is assuming that even with chatzi shir, we do have a malacha. The Torah has established that you're not chayv unless you do a shir. Okay, that's fine. You're not chayv unless you do a shir. But you are in violation of malacha, according to Rashi, even in less than a shir. And if it's a malacha, then you violated an iser of chatzi shir. Now, one second, Alan. I just don't want to lose my punchline here. Oh, so I wanted to know if perhaps this analysis of Rashi might fit into the broader analysis of Rashi that we've gotten to up until this point. Meaning that it could be that Rashi, in his understanding, in his definition of Malechas Machsheves, would not list Shiurim, would not list the Pachas Mikashir versus the Shir as a criterion for Malechas Machsheves. Why? Because Rashi would say that fundamentally the malach has not changed. What do you say?
It's not, the amount doesn't matter.
Correct. As far as your definition of the malach is concerned, the amount is a secondary issue. Rashi wants to know, have you done something to change the malach? And Rashi says a significant change would be, for example, if you write ksiva kilachar yad, if you sew two stitches in a way that they're going to come apart, those kinds of changes in the way you did the malacha have a direct impact on the malacha itself. Again, don't ask me about malach shen tzrich legufa, because again, that sends us down a whole different line. But in the other three Rashis that we discussed, for example, Makalkel means the malacha is a destructive malacha. That certainly is a qualitative change in the malacha. And I could also argue that a malacha shenim is kayemis, that's a qualitative inferior status in malacha. So too, in a case where you didn't do it in a professional way, you know, it's just hodgepodge, you know, a child could put together a couple of onions into a bag, you know, a child of three, I think my three-year-old grandson would have no problem with that. That's not called a malacha, just in terms of the quality of the malacha. It's not chashuv. Now you're adding another element to the equation. Well, how much of a volume did you impact on? So the Rashbam says, well, that's also a din of chashivus, because now we have to see your malacha in terms of what impact it had on the world, you know, so then we might go beyond just the pu'ulas ha-malacha. Whereas Rashi says, no, I just want to know about the way he did the malacha, the quality of the action. And this, my friends, I think, is going to lead us to the Iglei Tal. Okay, what's the Iglei Tal going to give us? Now, again, I just a little history here. The Iglei Tal was a Hasidic Rebbe, but as far as Lumdus is concerned, first class plus. I mean, you can't get much beyond. Now, if you don't have the Iglei Tal, I have one more copy, going once, going twice. Okay, and I'll keep it for myself.
It was the Posek Ador, correct?
Correct. The Iglei Tal was a great Lamed. And he writes the following. Now, it's a long piece, but I'm going to shorten it because we don't need the whole thing. Again, eventually we do need the whole thing, but not for now. He's focused on this Chelkas Mechoke that we began with today, as far as Kelachar Yad is concerned. And he says the following. That the Chelkas Mechokek and others following suit tell us that if you write, you're righty and you write the get with your left hand, then the get is kosher. And even though in Shabbos you'd be potter for that, that's because there's a special requirement in Shabbos of Meleches Machsheves. But as far as Ksav is concerned, it is a Ksiva for get. Now, wait a second. Says the Iglei Tal, is the Chelkas Mechokek telling me that the requirement of kehergel adover, or shall we say the deficiency of kelachar yad, is a unique halacha in Hilchas Shabbos? That's what I thought he was saying. And at this point, I think that's what the Iglei Tal thinks that the Chelkas Mechokek is saying. So I think we're on, you know, we're in good company here. Says the Iglei Tal, that's absolutely wrong. The entire premise of the Chelkas Mechokek can be disproved in four different ways, four different sugyas. Because, says the Iglei Tal, I will prove to you in four different sugyas in Shas, Kelachar Yad removes the prohibition. Number one, he says, take the case of Achila of Macholas Asuros. If he eats it, Shalo Kiderech Achilasa. For example, in the case of chalev, if he heats up the chalev to the point that it's so hot it almost burns your throat, then he's not chayef for such a thing. Even though chalev normally is an isur chomer, it engenders a chiyuv kares, correct? Take, for example, isurei hana. This is a sugya in Masechta Psachim. And the Gemara says that if you take isurei hana, and you benefit from kelachar yad, let's say you put it on your body as a retio, what's that called in English?
A salve.
How do you spell it?
S-A-U-S-A-L-V-E.
As a salve, then you're potter, even though you benefited greatly from it, but it's not the normal way that you would use it. Then we have halacha number three in Negoim. And this is Sugya Masechta Shavuos, that if you enter into a base hamenuga b'derech achorav, in other words, he goes backwards into it, then that's not called bia. That's called bia shalo kedarka. And bia shalo kedarka is not a bia. And finally, again, this is a sugya which is beyond my, I'm not learning kodshim, but in Masechta Menachos, the Gemara talks about a case where a kohen is maktir something in an unusual way, and that's not considered kidarko, and therefore it's not considered a haktorah. In any event, we see quite clearly that shalo kidarko is a mafkia, as a poter in kol atarakula. This is not a meleches machsheves halacha. There's no requirement of meleches machsheves in achila of macholas asuras anor from basu b'chol from kelaya kerem. There's no halacha of meleches machsheves in biol abeis hamenuga or in aktora abeis b'mizbeach. And then he quotes halacha of atzitz she'eno nakuf, where he plants something in a vase that doesn't have any holes, that would connect it to the ground, and he's potter from Zriya, and that halacha is a universal halacha. For example, if let's say there's Kedusha Shvius, and I put a pot down on the ground that's Kodesh B'Kedusha Shvius, but it's an Otzitz She'eno Nokuv, then even though there's an Isa Zriya on Shvius. Nevertheless, I don't violate the Issur Zeriyah. In other words, bottom line, the very premise of the Chelkas Mechokek, that we could distinguish between Get and Shabbos, or for that matter, Kol HaTorah Kula and Shabbos, because Shabbos has generated a unique requirement of Melechus Machsheves, that premise is incorrect, insofar as it impacts on Shalo Kedarka, Kilach HaYad. Again, please, Rabbi Osei, don't misunderstand. The Iglei Tal is not denying that Melechus Machsheves is a prerequisite that's very unique to one area in the Torah, and only one area, namely to Shabbos. He doesn't deny that. For example, Tefirah without Kshira, which is not considered a Melacha Meskayemis, that's a Ptur in Shabbos. So a Dovah She'eino Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, that's only a Ptur in Shabbos. He knows that, the Iglei Tal. You don't have to tell him that. But Kelach HaYad is not an example of Meleches Machsheves. It cannot be an example of Meleches Machsheves, because if it were, then it would only apply in Shabbos and not beyond the confines of Shabbos. And we know that Kelach HaYad is a Mafkia. It cancels the status of many different activities that are relevant to many different areas of the Halacha. Ach Biruram Shel Dvarim. Okay. Here's the revolution. He says the following, that you have to understand that the Chelkas Mechokek is talking about one specific category or one type of Kelach HaYad. There's another type of Kelach HaYad. Now, the difference between the two categories of Kelach HaYad is going to be day and night, you know, earth and, you know, heavens and earth, because one category of Kelach HaYad is going to apply universally in all areas of Halacha, whereas the other category of Kelach HaYad only applies to Shabbos. This is a glorious example of lumpness. And he says the following, what's the difference between type A of Kelach HaYad and type B? He says that there are two things. There's called a poel and a nifal, which in our language would be a maisa and a totsas maisa, meaning there's the action and the result of the action, the final goal. The action, he says, if it's changed, doesn't necessarily mean that the nifal is going to change. The poel may change, the action, but the nifal remains identical, remains unaffected. So you could have a Kelach HaYad which is totally focused on the poel and doesn't impact on the nifal. Now all this may sound to you very abstract, but we'll see how we can give it flesh and blood. He says the following. The most extreme case of Kelach HaYad is where the change is such a profound change that the Kelach HaYad is not only a change in the poel, but even in the nifal, even in the final, what word am I looking for? The final result, the final product. Yeah, the final product is going to be changed. In other words, your change in the pu'ula is going to impact on the final product. So, for example, according to the Iglei Tal, the case of a writing with his left hand, even if he creates a legible script, is nevertheless a change not only in the Echus HaPa'ula, but also in the Echus of the Nifal. And why is that so? He says, Haksav Shenasa Karoi, who al yidei imun yodayim. Imun yodayim means if he's very adept at using his right hand, because he's a righty, then he will write v'yichtov bi'osios miyusharim, his letters will be absolutely straight and crystal clear, because he wrote with his right hand. He gives another example. Amotzi meshus l'shus kelach HaYad. Afti etzem amalocha hi b'chefetz hamuva l'shus acheres b'chefetz ein shum shinui umunach ato b'shus acheres. Ah, okay. So one second. I think I jumped the gun here. Let's start again from scratch, because I may have gotten a little confused. How much time? We have about 10 minutes.
4 minutes.
Well, I think Mincha now is a little bit later. So if you have to leave, Phil, whenever you have to leave, leave. You know, but Mincha, I think, is at 1:20 because of the summer months, I think. So that gives me an extra 5 minutes. It doesn't mean you have to stay for the extra 5 minutes, but it means I can continue haranguing for another 5 minutes. Okay. He says the following again. There are two categories of kilachar yad. Yesh hamalacha atzma bilti nifelis karoi. That means in the nifal, it's a change. This is a shinui in the nifal. Okay, I'm going to underline that so I don't get myself confused. Right? So he says, for example, you cannot compare planting in a pot that doesn't have holes in it. What's that called in English if it doesn't have holes in it? Anyway, a flat bottom for our purposes, correct?
Perforated.
It's not perforated. To a pot that's perforated, because if it's perforated, then the whatever you plant will nurture from the ground itself. Oh. But here's where I'm sorry, I made a mistake before, so cancel what I said before. V'yesh melecha kelachar yad she'ishinui b'eichus ha'poel v'lo b'eichus ha'nifal. Okay, so I made a mistake. I said to you that a righty, when he writes with his left hand, will not be able to successfully create letters that are musharim. So I'm sorry, that was Berzon speaking. That wasn't the Iglei Tal. The Gleital is saying, Kigon Hakosev Bismolo. The Af Shanifal, Dino Aksav Nasekaroi. Okay, that's why I missed it, sorry. Nasekaroi. In other words, if he was able to press himself and push himself and write with his left hand in such a way that Kosav Osios Miusharim, he probably had to slow his pace down considerably, but at the end of the day, he successfully wrote Osios Miusharim, straight, clear letters that are absolutely legible with his left hand. Right. Let's say, for example, he carries something from one rishus to another in his left hand, or let's say he puts it on top of his hand, or he carries it on his arm or something of that long. He says, "Bachefetz." In the ultimate result, there's no change whatsoever because he actually laid down the chefetz in that other rishus. So that in the first case that we're talking about, there's no change. Well, again, which is first and which is second? The first case, actually, he illustrated with Otzitz Sheino Nakuv. There was a difference not only in the Echus HaPoel, but also in the Echus HaNifal. In the second case, where he wrote with his left hand, he was successful in writing exactly a ksav that's exactly similar to a ksav with Osios Mishos that he would have written with his right hand. So he accomplished with his left hand what he could have accomplished and would have accomplished with his right hand, and it's all Nasa HaNifal Karoi. Says the Iglei Tal Hine in the next paragraph, Beofen or Rishon in the first category, where the Malacha Atzma, meaning the Nifal, was bilti nases karoi. Please underline that word bilti. He wasn't successful. In other words, there was a change and a negative change in the echus hanifal. He says that's a universal halach of shalom kedarka. And he's going to have to explain all his four cases in the light of this premise. He's going to say that if you ate raw or very hot chelev, that's a different kind of an eating, you know. And he says that if you go into the Beis Hamanuga backwards, that's a different kind of entering. Now we turn to the next page. He says the haktara in this case was a different kind of haktara. He says hanifal eino kedarko. This is the universal definition of kilachar yad. Hanifal eino kedarko at the end of the second line. Aval in the next paragraph, we open hasheni in the second category, where there was no difference in the nifal, there was only a difference in the quality of the pu'ula, of the action, not in the result of the action. The result of the action is fine. Then, royal is chayev. In universal terms, he should be chayev. Why? Because the Torah is interested in gauging and defining the pu'ula by the results of the pu'ula. And the results of the pu'ula was a gmar pu'ula gmura, karoi. However, here's where the Chalkas Mechokik establishes a unique halacha in Hilchas Shabbos, namely, that Moleches Machsheves Osra Torah, And that means he has to do it the way it's normally done, and the way it was done in the Mishkan, a righty with his right hand, etc. Aval gabi get, the eker of get is that the pa'ula of a kosav is to create a ksav, right? That the kosav la sefer krisus, he wants to create a sefer krisus, which is the instrument for the gerushin. Then mikri ksav shu karoy, even though he wrote it with his left hand, kilachar yad, nevertheless, since the ksav itself is karoy, that's why it constitutes a ksav as far as our universal definition of ksiva is concerned. However, with regard to Shabbos, here we have a unique requirement that not only does the ultimate nifal have to be karoy, but even the pu'ulas ha-poel has to be karoy. And a change in the tzuras ha-pu'ula in such a fundamental way that it's not the normal way that you would do the pu'ula, that itself is a chisaron, is a detriment in Meleches Machsheves. Any questions so far? I mean, we still have a minute for questions. So I'm going to just end the shiur now, but if you notice on the Maror Makomos pages, we added two things, and they're both Rambams. One is in Perek Tes, and one is in Perek Yud Aleph. So my request for you is, next week at this time, today is what, Tuesday? Is Tisha B'Av. So if Chas V'Shalom Mashiach doesn't come, then we'll get together next Thursday. Does that make sense?
This Thursday.
Yeah, today is Tuesday. So this Thursday, and then the following Thursday. Again, it depends on what your schedule is for Bein Hazman, you know. So, Bulineter, on Thursday, if you could take a look before Thursday at these two Rambams and see if you can guess what we want to say about the relationship between these two Rambams in the light of everything that we discussed.
Where can you check the Rambams?
Here, you didn't get this page. So if you don't mind photocopying the page and getting back to me, that would be great. It's these last two sources on the page. Okay.